Good morning and welcome. You are tuned in to Final Draft. It is 2SER 107.3 this morning. Do not adjust your dial. It is time for Final Draft, books, writing and literary culture. A half hour in your week where you get to think and talk and meet the authors of the things that you love reading. Now, we're still having a wee bit of a winter hibernation here on Final Draft. So today I am presenting a bit of an encore conversation. This is with one absolutely fantastic Australian author, so it's always worth hearing again. I am going to be sharing with you my conversation earlier this year with Jacqueline Moriarty about her novel Gravity is the Thing. And when I think back and when I reflect on reading this novel, I remember the absolute sense of wonder and whimsy, but also this sort of deep philosophical reverberation about an examination of life and really how it is and what it means to live. So I'm really happy to be revisiting this conversation, and hopefully a few of you will pull out your copies or maybe hunt down Gravity is the Thing and discover this absolutely amazing book. It is the winter hibernation of Final Draft, and today we've got Jacqueline Moriarty with Gravity is the Thing after this short message.
2SER presents in association with Loop and Natural Touring, New Zealand's LAB. Live at Max Watts, Friday, October 11. Featuring members of Cora and Catchafire, LAB's unique reggae soul sound has seen them become one of New Zealand's hottest bands and recently named as New Zealand's best live act. One Sydney show only at Max Watts with support from Mana Lion. LAB, Friday, October 11. Tickets on sale now from Auztix. Loop proudly sponsors 2SER.
Good morning. You are tuned in to 2SER 107.3. You're listening to Final Draft, and my name is Andrew Popel. Now, Jacqueline Moriarty is an award-winning author of books for adults, children, that group in between that are so mysterious they can only be referred to by their initials, YA. And Jacqueline's joined us on Final Draft before, discussing her Colours of Madeline trilogy. And today, I've got her in the studio. We're going to discuss her latest novel, Gravity is the Thing. Jacqueline, welcome.
Thank you so much for having me.
It is great. It is great to have you here. I do love your writing, so I'm excited. This book, Abigail Sorensen. So Abigail Sorensen has been invited on an all-expenses-paid trip on an island off Tasmania's coast. And there she joins a group of strangers to discover the secret. All any of them know is that for most of their lives, they've each received chapters of a mysterious book, starting when they were 15. And this mysterious guidebook is more than just a curiosity to Abigail. The first chapter arrived the day before her brother went missing, and her whole life, she's wondered at the connection. So this is the setup for Gravity is the Thing. It's a vast and wonderful book, so much so that I kind of had to brainstorm all the possible things that we might talk about just to get an idea of where we might go. So do you mind, can I just give you a few things that I came up with? We're not going to get to all of them.
Okay.
So I've got genre bending, there's self-help, ideas around coincidence, love, male privilege, fantasy and whimsy and its place in our world, Sydney as both a setting and a character. Love a book in Sydney. Faith and our need for something to tie life together. Parenting. All of these things, and there's more we could talk about, and I'm interested to see where the conversation's going to go. I also thought we should put some minor spoilers. There are sort of the idea that there are bits we could spoil here, aren't there?
Sure, yeah, but I'm terrible with it because I do spoilers myself by accident. I'm confused about how to talk about this book. So, yeah, now you've said that, we are. Before this book got published, I used to talk about the book that I am planning to write, and I would give away things that then did not, which I thought was almost like, this is the hook of the book. Mm. And then the publishers were saying, no, you don't give that away. So I have no idea.
I think it has a lot to do with context. I think a spoiler is completely benign if you don't appreciate the large context. So at the moment, the listener has no context. We are free to talk, but I will mention that there may be minor spoilers if you understand. Like if you're halfway through Gravity is the Thing, you might sort of go, why'd you tell me that? But I want to see how these threads unravel in the conversation. And for me, I want to start with Abigail's story. It seems to be framed, maybe even defined, by searching. The guidebook, her brother, I'm going to throw the name Finnegan in there, they all give her cause to kind of look beyond for that thing that isn't there, or maybe it exists just beyond the horizon. And I wondered what you thought about that way of living.
Well, I'm remembering that the last time I talked to you, you speak beautifully, and I always just want to listen to you, and I forget that then I have to speak myself. And I was just thinking at that moment, oh, come on, think, you have to speak now too. It's not just Andrew's job. But if you do want to just keep talking, I'm enjoying it. So searching. I think in a way that's where the book came from, that idea of everybody looking for something. And I know people talk about that a lot, but that elusive truth that everybody wants and that you can find in so many different aspects of life. So people look for it in religion, but they also look for it in exercise. And there's often, I don't know about you, but I've found in my life that there's often a point where I think, okay, I figured it out.
Mm-hmm.
Now I understand. This is how it works. And I've got it all right. And then a year later, no, that was all wrong. So that constant. So I think you can never, most people don't figure it out in the end, really. But
do you have a sense? I mean, do you feel like we could even agree that there is a single thing? That there's maybe something that we can hang our hat on? I don't wear a hat, but I like that expression. That's something that we can hang our thing that we wear on and say, well, even if I haven't found it, it's definitely there?
That's a really good question, because probably not. But I don't know. It's a bit like talking about religion, that you can say, I absolutely know there is God, I am spiritual, or you can say absolute rubbish, of course they're not, it makes no sense. Or you can say, how can anybody possibly know? And in the end, I think that's what we always have to come down to. I don't know if there's a single answer or not, but there's constant hope that there is one answer. I think it's unlikely, though.
It's all an allegorical conceit, and it's a function of our brain's wiring that we actually just try and do this. And we need a really talented storyteller to produce some 440-odd pages to help us work through this. Where would we find someone like that? So the narrative, Abigail's story, it unfolds sort of like memory. We jump back and forth across Abigail's life, viewing moments as they occur and become important to her now. What did this narrative structuring, it's a beautiful way, I found myself loving the way you were telling the story, because sometimes we would jump back into Abigail's past and maybe we didn't need to know that, but the richness that it then provided to the story as it moved forward just gave me so much. But what did this narrative structuring afford you in telling the story?
Thank you. I think, well, for one thing, I've always liked fragmented storytelling, and I don't know whether that's partly to do with having been a lawyer, and I just loved it. It was something that I fell in love with when I was a lawyer, the idea that you could piece together a narrative, that a narrative is never just chronological. There's never one story. There's always several different perspectives, and that the best kind of storytelling, I found something that takes you closer to the truth, is something that does jump around between different angles and perspectives, and that who you are. And so there's that time. So yeah, when I was a lawyer, I remember trying to put cases together from boxes of documents, and you'd have boxes of legal documents, contracts and leases on land and that kind of thing. And then you'd have a letter from an elderly woman who had handwritten the letter and was pleading for someone to help her in this situation. And so then you would see that life is, there are so many different layers to life. There's that personal, individual, emotional, and there's the technical, contractual, the intellectual, and a thousand other ones as well. Mm-hmm. So choosing just one is never the answer. And all my young adult books, my YA books, were always written in epistolary, almost all of them. I think I seem to have letters and notes and trying to get to the story from that angle. But with this one, I think it was more that everybody is, it's almost like you are a stack of different experiences. So each thing that happens to you draws on, as an adult, will almost you be start finding yourself flickering through a stack of papers that are all the memories and experiences that you have had that relate in various ways to what's happening now, or that you believe relate to what's happening now. So how you put together the narrative of your life can change constantly and can be wrong, and you need to be questioning it. But yeah, I'm answering in a very long way a simple question. But yeah, I just thought different perspectives and the fact that we are made up of multiple layers of experience, and that they go ding, ding, ding against each other and sometimes misfire. And
it's important to say, if I can borrow, that we should be kind to our former selves.
Yes.
Now, I'm loath to draw too strong parallels between authors and their characters, but Abigail is also a lawyer, and I recall a point in the book where she is talking about being a lawyer and the idea that if you want to counter a particular narrative, if you're arguing, you have to have a strong counter narrative. You can't just say, well, that story's rubbish. Mm-hmm. We need a strong alternative. And that strikes me, we come back to this idea of searching, and that the way we make sense is to tell stories. And when we want to get rid of one story, we have to tell another one. And Abigail is very much a storyteller, isn't she? Of her own life. Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you very much there to Jacqueline Moriarty. You are on Final Draft on 2SER 107.3. We are revisiting a conversation with Jacqueline Moriarty about her novel Gravity is the Thing. It came out a little bit earlier this year. But right now, we are going to take something new from the Teskey Brothers. Feels right to just get a little soulful this time of the morning. As I said, yeah, this is from the Teskey Brothers, and it is called Carry You.
let me carry you on.
Light Rail in Central Sydney, stormwater recycling and the revitalisation of laneways are some of the great projects already transforming Sydney. If you've got other big ideas, City of Sydney want to hear from you. Submit your ideas for action by Saturday, August 31 at sydney2050.com. A jury of everyday people will consider all the ideas submitted and recommend the best ones to include in the new Sydney 2050 plan. City of Sydney sponsors 2SER 107.3. Hello, my name is Andrew Popel. This is 2SER 107.3. You are listening to Final Draft, which is books, writing and literary culture, except for that last couple of minutes, which was some absolutely soulful bliss from the Teskey Brothers. That track was called Carry You. Right now, we are chatting with Jacqueline Moriarty. This is a reprise. This is our winter hibernation. And I am sharing my conversation with Jacqueline about Gravity is the Thing. Jacqueline and I are discussing her new novel, Gravity is the Thing, where Abigail Sorensen has travelled to a remote island to discover the truth of the guidebook that has been arriving in monthly instalments ever since she was 15. There is so much to this book, and we are trying so hard not to spoil anything. But Jacqueline, can we talk about flying? I feel like the title, Gravity is the Thing, and the cover for people that and see it, there is a beautiful, beautiful sort of soft blue horizon with someone perhaps jumping, perhaps falling to the ground, suspended in midair. I feel like the title and the cover give us enough that it's not too much of a spoiler to think that there is flying or something to do with flying. And it's so much of the imagery and purpose of the novel that as I read, it almost faded into this kind of middle ground and I stopped thinking about the literal act. It was something that was there. And similarly, none of the group, whom I'm going to leave as a little bit mysterious, none of them believe too much in flying. But that leaves open the question of their true motivations for coming together. Why are they together? And we come back to this theme of searching. What happens when different people searching for different things find themselves searching together?
Oh, interesting question. Mm. Yes, because that's also how life works, isn't it? That we are all troubled and have our own dreams, and it's just fascinating the way that it works. I often think when you look back on relationships and friendships and how everyone in that friendship group have their own traumatic pasts or episodes of trauma from their lives, and they have their own objectives and dreams. I find it, and that's just true of humanity generally, it is remarkable how well we get along, how much we forgive of other people's, because we all misunderstand each other so much. So
it's remarkable we ever actually understand each other.
Exactly. And it's remarkable. I just think so much of things that people say that are so wrong and reveal so much that we cannot know at all somebody else's experience. And, you know, just walking along the street and someone being scowling as you walk past, you have no idea what is going on behind that person's head. And then we clash in small ways, like doing transactions. But I just feel like people could be exploding all the time and breaking out into fistfights because we don't understand each other's experiences at all. But there must be some common humanity that even though... So things like the different different minorities' experiences and the big, white, stupid majority just crushing people all the time... But somehow there's this element of forgiveness, and we'll just keep trying to figure it out and solve these issues. And maybe it's because even though everyone is completely different and has these different experiences, we're all in some basic way searching for a similar thing.
And of course, gravity is the thing. We've talked about searching, and of course, when you search, you're looking for some sort of anchor. You're looking for maybe a belief system or something you can pin yourself to tie you just to a way of being. Throughout, Abigail runs sort of the gamut of self-help books, and I have to imagine that you also did in your research, did a lot of this reading, and explores these various systems that we try to, you know, try to give ourselves to fit our life into a purpose or a structure. Do you have any insight into what happens when we let that go? Let go of that search that one thing might be out there?
I think a lot of people probably let it go eventually, and there's relief in that, but also loss and confusion. So even then you're trying to get the balance right, aren't you? I think reading all those... So yeah, I read a lot of self-help books to research for it, and I worried about what it was doing to my mind because I hadn't actually been interested in self-help particularly before. I'd been quite cynical about self-help before this. And I was raised Catholic, so I don't know whether that helped in a way that I had a foundation of belief which I could then, as I became a teenager and grew older, then could start to question and feel defiant about and find problematic. So I already had a foundation that in many ways I had rejected, but perhaps still had some residual spirituality, which in itself can help, but fundamentally had rejected. So I had that, and then I thought, okay, self-help is nonsense. And I just was aware of it around me.
I am speaking with Jacqueline Moriarty, and we are discussing Gravity is the Thing. Now, I teased spoilers, and we have this wonderful setup where Abigail Sorensen is about to discover the truth of this guidebook she's received for her entire life. And I've sort of been skimming through my questions, and I realised I don't have many more that are spoiler safe. But before I let you go, Jacqueline, I love your writing. Like, I adored the Colours of Madeline trilogy. I've loved Gravity is the Thing. And the last time we spoke, I had actually read all three of the Colours of Madeline before the interview, because apparently back then I had a lot of free time to read. Three books just for one conversation. It occurred to me as I read Gravity that there are a few interesting parallels. We have this missing person, this idea that a sibling is missing. There are these elements of mysterious wonder, but I remember, well, anyone who's read Colours of Madeline realises that there is a much more fantastical element, but there is also a grounding to it. There is very much a grounding. Did you find themes like this the things that you're drawn to? Are these ideas that you're searching out yourself?
I think it's connected in a way, because the missing persons... Well, it's a narrative convention in a sense, isn't it? That a missing person, especially in a fantasy world, so the hero's father or somebody is missing, so they have to go on a quest to find them or find out what happened to them. So that made sense for the Colours of Madeline trilogy. And when I was writing that, because it was the first time I'd written fantasy, it was important to me to make it as authentic, emotionally authentic as my other books had hopefully been. And so I wanted it to be almost like realistic fiction in a fantasy world. And so because of that, and I had that convention of the father, the main character's father has disappeared. And so I thought, I want to really understand what it feels like to have a father who's missing, or have a person who is missing in your life. And I started reading a lot of books about missing persons, and and it was heartbreaking, of course, and just trying to understand this idea of having to live with this ambiguity of that perfect balance between hope and despair, because and nobody actually knowing. So I was connected to the idea that I originally had, which was, this is about people looking for truth. This is like about people wanting an answer, which is really what I wanted too, because I grew up feeling like I'm hopeless at life. I don't understand what you're supposed to do. I want somebody to send me a guidebook and tell me, this is how often you need to go to the dentist. This is the time when you should be learning how to bake bread. Now you should start using moisturizer, and you should break up with this person, even though you think they're a nice person, because they are boring you. You need to break up with them. There are all these things. I thought I need a guidebook, because we are all just giving each other this random ad hoc advice. So you need a guidebook. So everyone, and I feel like everyone wants, what's the answer? So when someone's missing, there's that fundamental, that's the bigger truth that is missing from your life. If you have to live with a family, a close family, or close friend, a close family member or friend who is missing, and you have no idea where they are, then you have the biggest question of all.
I am speaking with Jacqueline Moriarty. Her latest novel is Gravity Is the Thing. I'm going to wrap up the official part of our conversation. I might try and catch some spoiler type stuff off the record now. Just to remind people, we've covered so much, and yet we didn't get to, when I brainstormed, we didn't really talk about ideas around male privilege and the way that impacted on Abigail. We didn't talk so much about Sydney as a setting and a character. I love a book set in Sydney where I can walk streets and feel like I'm just a few paces behind the character. We didn't talk about parenting, so many things. But you've been so lovely joining me again. Thank you so much, Jacqueline.
It's a pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
We absolutely love our supporters at 2SER. To give back, we have regular supporter-only giveaways with tickets to gigs, movies, the theatre, exhibitions and more. Look out for 2SER e-news in your inbox to see what you could win. Stories, ideas, music and free stuff.
You win!